I've been in the self-publishing business now for over 5 years, and in that time I've had some pretty good success, but not too many times have you heard me come out and say some of the things I'm kind of ashamed of, kind of afraid to share because they're mistakes, they're mishaps, they're problems that I'd otherwise like to ignore, but in ignoring that, it would be putting you out in the dark. And I want to make sure that you know more about these Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing mistakes that cost me thousands. So if you want to learn more about that today, make sure you stay tuned.
Learn how to publish profitable books and build an unstoppable author brand with indie author and self-publishing coach, Dale L. Roberts. This is the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast.
If you've been in this business long enough, chances are pretty likely you've made a few mistakes. Maybe you've lost a few bucks here, a few bucks there, maybe $100 here and $100 there. But I've actually made the egregious mistake of actually losing thousands. And some of it, you know, is kind of perceived, you know, kind of things that you would expect. But, you know, I want to kind of tell you things that actually are very, very measurable. So I want to talk about the usual suspects, the things that typically we're having the most problem with. And the usual suspects include focus, consistency, identifying your audience, and scaling up too soon. Now, I blazed through those things pretty quick because those are just a given. There's a lot of people that don't have focus. They're too busy chasing after shiny objects. They find out, oh, well, keto diets are pretty big right now. Or, I hear that Werebear Shapeshifter romance is killing it right now. Or adult baby diaper lover romance, that type of thing. And it becomes, you know, your burden after a while. You're trying to catch up and do these things. Those that stay focused are going to be less susceptible to losing a lot of money. Consistency is also key. You can't expect to just put out one piece of content and never market it or put out more content, because the thing is, that requires work on a consistent basis. And I see far too often that people just publish and pray for the best. They pray for those organic sales, and that just ain't gonna come, folks. Identifying your audience. This right here, I see a lot of people getting wrong. They want to write for everybody, but the thing is, when you try to please everyone, you please no one in the process. Dial down your content and who your audience is, and ultimately, you're going to win big. After all, I want you to think, if you're watching me on YouTube or you're listening to me on the podcast, you see me on Twitch, you've come to expect me to deliver information about self-publishing. Wouldn't it be shocking if you showed up and I started showing you how to make pizza, or I started to do car mechanic type work? You would go, what is this? So I have identified my audience about the people that are looking how to self-publish and build a profitable business as well as a larger author platform. I've gotten good on that. You too need to get good on who you're writing for and the content that you're producing and how you want to reach them. And then last but not least is scaling up too soon. I see this happen a lot and I'm just as guilty. You find one idea and then you start to do it over and again. You double down too soon. Never double down on a concept that's not proven, because otherwise you are going to lose money hand in fist. It's a given. You know, if it doesn't work, don't force it. I tell people, okay, let me take a look at your portfolio. And typically they have all these like hundreds of books and they're like, I don't understand why I'm not making any money. And then I go, okay, what about this one book? It seems to be selling well. Oh yeah, that one does pretty well. Well, double down on that. That's where you're going to want to pay attention to scaling, is when you start to see a concept that sells, then scale it. Don't start scaling until it is proven. Okay, so the usual suspects are out of the way. Now becomes the awkward point where actually I'm going to have to fully disclose here with you. Mistake number one. So with mistake number one, book promo sites. Now, I'm not going to say all book promo sites are bad. I'm not going to say all book promo sites are not worth it. Some of them are. I mean, like the likes of BookBub. I mean, you get a BookBub deal, good Lord. You know, look out. You're definitely going to crush it. But there are other ones that are a little smaller and maybe they don't require as much money up front. You know, it could be $12 here. It could be $100 there. Either way, in my first year to 2 years, probably first 2 years to be exact, I was relying a lot on Fiverr services. And some of the Fiverr services said, well, you know, if you pay $5, I will share all of my stuff out to my 600,000 people on Twitter. And you think in your mind that this makes sense. Well, $5, definitely worth a shot. Let's give it a shot. And the issue is that most of these services that are offering to promote your book via a large social media following, a lot of them don't have the best intentions. You know, they really don't. All they want to do is just get your money and blast it out to probably an audience that's fake. There's no engagement. There's no real activity. So I would say easily, and I'm going to monetize each one of these ones, and I'm going to tell you about my first mistake. I easily lost a little less than $100 in my first year to 2 years. That's passable. Some of you might be cringing, but $100 can definitely be put towards some awesome things like a good cover or even legit marketing services. I'm going to talk about one of the best vetting services that you can actually look into to figure out if a book promotional service is worth it or a book promo site is definitely worth it. But just, you know, stick around for just a second longer here, because I'm going to talk about mistake number two. Oh, excuse me. I jumped ahead of myself. It will be Ally's Watchdog Service, best and worst self-publishing services. Head over to dalelinks.com/watchdog, and you actually will see what are the promo services that are good and recommended and other ones that aren't so much recommended. All right, so mistake number two, book awards contests. Oh my goodness. I'm so proud of the work that I put into. Anytime I write a book, it's like my baby. You know, I want everybody to read it. I want everybody to see it. I get so excited about it, and I know that you do too. And naturally, when you feel so strongly about your book, why wouldn't it win an award? Sadly, it just doesn't work out that way. So let me give you a little bit of a story. And I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but sadly, I'm going to have to bring up one person here, or not at one person, one service. I've mentioned Reader's Favorite here on this channel before, and they actually do have a free review service that's 100% legit. It's not going to get your account banned or anything else like that. They have an upgrade for getting more reviews, but you can just put it up there. And I did a full video on this on YouTube at one point or another. And I'm not going to talk about that. They actually have a book award contest, and it was about 4 years ago. I submitted one of my books, and I put down $99. Okay, so there's my loss right there, $99. And I think I might have upgraded. You could actually get a number of categories and niches you can associate to your particular book. And I might have spent, I think, maybe $25 more, something like that. You know, because when you do like the entry level $99, then you can spend about another $25 and you get mentioned in other niches. Honestly, I got nothing out of it. Didn't win an award. They sent like some, like, I don't know, virtual sticker type thing I could put on my book. But, you know, for the most part, I spent $100 to get no results. None whatsoever. So you fast forward about like a couple years later, and this is where I stumbled on Ally's Watchdog Service. And there's actually another Watchdog Service for this. And by the way, Ally is the Alliance of Independent Authors, folks. So any rate, the Watchdog Service does something to where they vet out some of these services. And they also vet out the authors' awards and contests. Go take a look at this one, dalelinks.com/watchdog2. So the first one was for Watchdog by itself. The next one's Watchdog 2. So dalelinks.com/watchdog2. You actually see some of these author awards and contests because some of them are on the up and up. They're definitely good. Sadly, and you know, I apologize to Reader's Favorite if you get hurt by me saying this. I'm just sharing information. They're kind of put in that show caution area because ultimately they're just looking to make a buck and they're doing a lot of hard sales. In fact, actually, here's a screenshot that I'm sharing here. Is they say, caution, contests with more serious concerns. For example, these contests may involve excessive entry fees, exploitative contracts, conflicts of interest, or high pressure sales. And Reader's Favorite is in that caution area. So be careful about the money that you're putting into book awards contests. And I would say double check with that particular service. Again, it's free. Everybody can get this, dalelinks.com/watchdog2, before you go submit your book into something and really buy into it. And I was heartbroken. Like, honestly, like, you know, I got rejected and I was also $100 poorer. And honestly, no change in my book sales. None whatsoever. All right, mistake number three. Okay, so we we've been kind of discussing some things that are pretty good solid number. $100. I spent over $100, I think about 125 when it was all said and done. Mistake number three. This is timing. Timing is everything. And you've heard me talk a little bit about in previous podcasts and live broadcasts, I've talked about quarter four. The year is broke up into different quarters. Quarter one being the first 3 months, quarter two being the next 3 months, so on and so forth, until you get to October, November, December. This is the most busiest time of year and probably the most profitable for you as a self-publisher. But you remember, it's busy, not just for you, but for everyone else, and even service providers. This was a mistake that actually I made more recently, and I'm spending too many plates trying to do the self-publishing with Dale Brand, trying to manage my own self-published books, and sometimes I kind of lose track of things, and I didn't think this one fully through. So I had a good handful of books that were published through aggregate publishers like Smashwords, PublishDrive, and Drafted Digital, and I wanted to see about taking some of these books back to exclusivity in eBooks over in the KDP Select platform. So when I get them opt back in, I wanted to kind of take advantage of quarter four. Now this was like, I would say, beginning of November. This is the biggest issue. Trying to make that decision right in the middle quarter four. So I got quite a bit of the distribution back. And the issue is, though, I can't go to KDP Select until the entire aggregation is taken off. I have to be delisted on all the sites, because if I go into KDP Select and I opt into that and Amazon discovers that, bye-bye. That's that right there. Won't be able to get KDP Select, and there's a good chance they'll suspend my account. So, okay, so I just was being cautious, I was like, okay, we got to kind of, and I pressed a little bit. It was mid-December. Still, everything's aggregating out. And I'm just like, I'm heartbroken. I'm like, I'm literally, as a minimum, and see, I can't really put a dollar sign on this here, folks, but I can tell you as a minimum, with the number of publications I had, there was easily $100 from all the aggregation, easily, if I had a bad month. So you can see where I'm going here. $100 between mid-November to mid-December. Fast forward, I keep pushing a little bit. It's mid-January. I had to push even more because it's still not delisted. I'm out of quarter four, and at this point, I'm just throwing my hands up. Well, finally, it was mid-December. I really pushed hard. I was like, hey, look, I'm losing money here, folks. And they finally delisted all the stuff. And they were super cool about it, and I came to find out it was literally bad timing. So I was easily out already by then, at least $200. And some of you are like, oh, $200, that's not much. Like I said, that's a bare minimum, okay, from all the aggregation. So you can only imagine how much more it could have possibly been since it was quarter four, which means more sales. So this is where I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, you think the end of the story is already here. No, this gets worse. This gets worse. So I find out it's delisted on each one of those sites. It's ready to go back into KDP Select program. Here comes the mistake. I didn't jot down that information and go back into the KDP Select program, and I didn't see it until freaking May time. November, December, January, February, March, April, 6 freaking months. That was easily $600 in lost revenue. Again, could have been more. I don't think it would have been less, because I know the track record of how these were selling, and on a down month, it would have been about 100 for these number of titles. So this could have been a grand or more in this particular situation. So if you do ever go wide and you decide to go back exclusive to the KDP Select program, never put it at quarter four. Do it before, do it sometime during the year. And the next learning tool here is going to be, make sure that when it does get delisted, you've double checked all the platforms, that you put it in the KDP Select program. Oh yeah, so that one right there, that's the most embarrassing. But actually it gets even more embarrassing here, folks. As if I, just love sharing all of my mistakes, but hopefully you're learning here. Mistake number four, review swaps. You probably didn't see this one coming. Oh, yeah. So I started back in the business right about 2013, and I didn't really get officially going till about 2014. And I was led to believe that review swaps were the way to go. Now, if you're not familiar with review swaps, it's essentially one author exchanging a book with another author in, they'll be doing a quid pro quo system. You read my book, you review it. I'll read your book, you review it. Okay, so it seems like it was on the up and up back then, and I thought it was okay. And I actually took time and pride into something like this. But I also know I wanted to scale because I was told you got to scale the business. You got to get more reviews. You got to get more, you know, quicker. And there's a portion of me kind of saying, I don't know. I don't know if this is right. They're like, well, you got to hire out virtual assistants. They'll get all the reviews for you. So I did that. So I spent, I would say easily, it was easily in the hundreds, because during the course of a month, I would hire a VA. That would be at least $100 minimum, probably more. And this was money I didn't even have here, folks. I was just pumping it on in. So I was getting pretty good success, and I was getting all these, pretty much these fake reviews, for lack of better words. And I don't say this with pride. Fake reviews, don't do it, folks. Do not do review swaps. Here's why. It is against the terms of service with Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing. You are not supposed to be doing author review swaps. You are not supposed to be hiring out a virtual assistant. And if you think that you're being safe by hiring a virtual assistant, you have another thing coming, because it is associated with the book that is in your account. So think about that. If they see a bunch of these fake reviews kind of coming in here, and they'll know, because they're going to come all at once, or there's going to be another title that has been reviewed at the same time as yours. They have an algorithm here, folks, that determines people's, you know, specific buy patterns. Do you think they don't see things to where it seems like a something a little bit off, like these reviews aren't quite right? And that's just the thing, folks. 2015, it was about June, May to June time of 2015. I go to log into my account, and this was just the Amazon account. I look at to set a review on something, and it said, couldn't do it. I look for my other reviews. They're gone. I look at my books. I would say 3/4 of the reviews gone, erased, history. So we're talking all of these, pretty much these exchanges were determined to be pretty much fraudulent. And at that point, I was like, my stomach kind of, I'm like, oh my, I just spent hundreds of dollars over the past year on this, and all the reviews are gone. And so I get a hold of them, and I just, you know, pretty much was like, hey, what's going on? What's happening? And they pretty much came back, and I'm just going to paraphrase it. It was essentially like, haha, we've caught you. We know what you're doing. If you want to further pursue this, we'll be happy to terminate your account. And I don't know if they said they were happy to terminate my account, but you get the idea. Review swaps, folks. I've said it for so long. If there is a content creator out there right now, if there's a self-publishing coach that's telling you to review swap, they are 100% wrong. They do not have your best interests at heart. And they are just merely there to get the quick win for you and skedaddle with your money. Okay? So I'm telling you, and I'm imploring you, never do review swaps. Get reviews the legit way. It's going to really be a detriment to your business. So I'm going to give you one more mistake that I made. But if you are enjoying today's content, folks, please join us every Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern Daytime. That's Universal Time Coordinated -4 on twitch.tv/self-publish. You head on over there every Saturday. We're doing this podcast recording. So if you happen to be listening to this, you can actually see the behind the scenes look and how I do some of this. And I do some live question and answers right directly afterwards. Keep in mind, you can actually follow self-publish on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/self-publish, or you can even subscribe for free with your Amazon Prime membership. That's right, it doesn't cost you a dime to subscribe, and it helps greatly support the cause. I do very much appreciate it. Mistake number 5, book stuffing and false page reads. Okay, this is going to be a very interesting one, and I want you to hear me out long enough before everybody starts to hit the unsubscribe and turn off their podcast, because you're going to probably be like, oh my gosh, what a POS. I thought Dale was on the up and up. This actually was back in 2015. Let me give you the full story and set you up on this one. July 2015, Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing actually changed their page read format. In the time prior, if somebody read 10% of your book, you were paid about $1.30 to $1.40. That's right, 10%. So if you had a 30-page book and somebody read about 3 pages, you would get paid about $1.40, $1.30, something like that. If you had a 100-page novel, well, they'd have to actually, that probably wouldn't be a novel, but 100 pages, they read 10 pages, you would get paid about $1.30, $1.40. It just depended on the Global Select Fund. They changed it in July 2015. Now, if you've been listening long enough, you notice June 2015, just a month prior, I went through and had all these issues with the review stuff getting, you know, terminated and gone. So now I'm dealing with this sudden shift. And so this means that all these authors had to kind of figure out something better. And quite a few people actually left the business. It was just rats fleeing the ship. People are like, this is not worth it. I'm gone. Because at July 2015 is what they did the current iteration of Kindle Edition Normalized Page Count, which means that you're paid per page read. As the person's flipping through, you're paid about less than half a cent per page. And that influences the rank, which is kind of nice. Well, everybody's kind of looking for answers. People are frustrated. Their paychecks are dropping. Come about November to December of 2015, someone came up with a brilliant idea of, what if we put a link in the front of the book that would lead to the back of the book? Will it catch those page reads? This person found out, yeah, actually it did work. And they even went in and asked KDP, hey, is this cool? They were like, yeah, totally cool. It's just fine. So then, if more is good, what about if we put even more into it? So what ends up happening is people started loading up bonus books within a single book. So that way it looked like there was a large volume. Now this was the Wild West, folks. You didn't have to have a set maximum. So the maximum right now I think is 3,000 page reads, page flips. So if you had something above 3,000 pages, Amazon's not going to currently pay you for anything beyond that point for a given publication. But at that time, it was the Wild West. People can go nuts. And when they started to see that that was happening, they did put that minimum. And like I said, I think it's 3,000, could be 1,000. I might be off on this one. Nonetheless, I go ahead and I say, I'm frustrated. My checks were at an all-time low. I hadn't even broke $1,000 per month by that point. And, you know, I'm eating ramen noodles and frozen vegetables. So you get that sense of desperation. And folks, don't let desperation dictate the course of your business, because you will get in huge trouble. You're going to find yourself at even more odds with what you're doing in this business. So I did this, and I went ahead and I started, you know, creating a system around this, and my paycheck started going up and I was excited. And then I'm like, oh wait, hang on. If more people read my books, then that will get me more page reads. So, okay, brilliant. Okay, people on Fiverr are going and they're offering gigs to, you know, flip through your book. And I'm like, oh, well, this is a no-brainer, of course. And then February 1st, 2016 comes along. This is after I had my first $1,000 paycheck month. And I was crushed. I go to log in. I couldn't. My stomach just sank. I'm thinking there's got to be something wrong. I can't get into my KDP account. I've got, you know, dozens of books by then. And I'm going, oh my God, what if they decided that this is not cool? What if they decided that this particular system that they formally endorsed and said it was okay was not okay? And I opened my email. Suspicions were confirmed. And they gave me this little warning, pretty much, your account has been currently suspended, and upon further review, we will determine if we will give you back or terminate your account. You will not receive any earnings through the KDP Select program as we review this. My heart sunk. I knew I was wrong. So desperation went to disappointment, because I knew I was better than this. I knew I shouldn't have been doing this. And by then, they'd pulled thousands of dollars from my account. Thousands. Because why? I did a system. I tried to manipulate the system. I tried to work around it. I tried to go above the law and try to work this. And it was suspended for 3 long whole days to where I pled to them, please, I will resolve the issue. I will fix everything. I'll get back on course. I will never do this again. And they finally acquiesced. They gave me back my account. Everything was put into draft. And I spent easily an entire 2 days going through every piece of content and fixing it. And then I went and I said, from this day forward, no more trying to screw around. Because if you're going to screw around, you are going to lose thousands of dollars. You will lose the ability to come back into the business. And I've heard some people even say, well, can't you just set up another account? Oh, people have tried, believe me, and they get caught and then they get that shut down. And here's something that is even more scary. It was the beginning of February that this happened to me. I was quiet. And I've probably shared this publicly a couple of occasions on Twitch and maybe even on YouTube, but not in depth like this. It was mid-February that mass accounts started being shut down. Just being shut down because of the book stuffing and the falsified page reads. Closed down, paychecks withheld, people that were making 5 figures, 6 figures per month. By the way, I wasn't even getting that much. Losing it all and having to pay back. And I'd even heard in extreme cases that if it was a ton of money, they actually came and took those people to court to get their money back. So that was even scarier. And I said, you know what? No more. I'm a writer. I love to write. And if people don't see my content right away, they will sense my passion and my enthusiasm, and they'll share it with the world. And it doesn't require black hat tactics to make that happen. So don't make the same mistake that I did, folks. Keep it on the up and up. Rest assured, it's not all doom and gloom. You will make a mistake from time to time in self-publishing. I promise you, I do it on the regular. I just had one, like I said, this past year that was just a complete mess up on my part. You probably will make some mistakes, and it's okay. Forgive yourself. Move on and continue to do the best that you can to create the best content that you can for your self-publishing business. As we start to wrap things up here, folks, I want to let you know that you can subscribe to the Self-Publishing Dale with Dale podcast on Apple Podcasts. Do me a little favor, if you could, leave a nice little review. That would make my day. Big virtual banana sticker if you do that. In the meantime, this has been Self-Publishing with Dale, and I will talk to you soon.
You've been listening to the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast. Visit us at selfpublishingwithdale.com for more information on how you can level up your publishing business. Also, get a rock-solid action plan for your next book launch when you sign up for our email newsletter at selfpublishingwithdale.com/checklist. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.